Your package says delivered, but delivered where exactly? The hallway? The lobby? Your neighbor's apartment? Instead of playing detective with your deliveries, get a mailbox at the UPS store. We'll sign for your packages, text you when they arrive, and keep your deliveries low-key under lock and key. Get 3 months free mailbox services with a new annual agreement at the UPS store. For full details and to get your coupon, visit the upsstore.com/offer.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you may not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host of Heal It, Ken D. Foster. I'm so glad you're here today. You know, when we are healing our life, our body, how does that happen? How does that happen for you? Well, I want to say this. I've interviewed hundreds of healers over the years. And what I've found is that we have to approach it as a quest. And for most things to heal in our life, it's not just the physical side. We have to heal mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually in all areas. Now, not every disease you have to heal in all areas, but I will say this. My understanding in my own life and my own experience and working with thousands of individuals over the last 28 years as a business strategist and a life coach is that all healing starts in the mind. So that's where the cause of the challenge is. The mind is the cause of our bondage, and the mind is the cause of our liberation, as the great sage Paramahansa Yogananda would say. So I want you to think about it. You know, mind is over your emotions. Emotions over actions, actions over results, results over destiny. So, you know, a lot is carried in the body emotionally. And when we can release that, we start to feel differently. We take different actions. We have different results. We change the way we're going through life. So today on my show, we're going to be talking about how to put these pieces together so that you can really have a foundation, what you need to know, to be able to get rid of some of the chronic issues that seem to be going over and over and over in your life. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to have my guest on. Well, welcome back to the show, everyone. I have my guest here in the studio with me. Steve, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Hey, thank you for the invite. It's good to be back.
It's really good to have you back on the show. Well, for those of you that don't know Steve, Ozanich is a mind, body, spirit, health consultant and teacher of presence. He's based in Ohio. He's the author of 5 books, including the international best-selling The Great Pain Deception, Family Medical Advice is Making Us Worse, and the Amazon number one best-selling book, Back Pain, Permanent Healing, and so much more. I want to take a dive into your background a little bit, Steve. How did you get into this place where you decided, I'm going to write books and kind of help people, not kind of, help people to wake up, to be able to heal their bodies, their minds, their souls, their spirits? Where'd you start?
Sure. Sometimes you choose a career and sometimes the career chooses you. I started out as an engineer and I was getting a master's in finance, and I had started to get a doctorate in finance, but I was so crippled with health problems, I just couldn't continue anymore. The pain was so bad, I couldn't drive to school anymore. I couldn't sit down in class. And so I was failing. My health was extremely failing at that point. I'd lost about 50 pounds. I wasn't able to eat anymore or to walk anymore. And I was introduced, of course, to the work of the late, great Dr. John Sarno. And I did what a lot of people do. I rejected it immediately because it didn't make sense to me. But now I teach the work. And so that work was one of the largest pieces of the puzzle that saved my life. And so people began to ask me for help. You know, help me. How did you do that? Well, I wasn't quite sure how I did it. It's very difficult to explain a transformation that happens in you to another person. It's very difficult to put into words. But I tried to reverse engineer it, and I had become present. I realized it because I didn't know what that meant at first. And so I started to explain it to people, and they started to heal. It was about 23, 24 years ago. And so they kept saying, you ought to write a book on it. You ought to write a book on how you're explaining this. You really explain it well. And so I took my time and laid the foundation for a book called The Great Pain Deception. It took about 10 years to write it, and it's still doing well. But like I said in the video that I had sent you, I didn't realize how far it was going to extend. I thought it was going to be just for pain. But they're healing from every bizarre health problem you can imagine.
Interesting. You know, I remember reading an article about Edgar Cayce, the healer, and he would bring people in and he'd just be present with them. He would say very few words and people would come in and heal. And people didn't think that was possible. So let's talk about presence. And you know, I can be present with a deer, but I'm not sure that deer is going to heal me. Maybe it will. I don't know. What is presence all about?
That would be interesting if a deer could heal us. I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, you know, I'll just say this. John Muir, the great adventurer in Yosemite, who started Yosemite Valley, you know, got Teddy Roosevelt to come out and go into Yosemite. He used to take all the guys from San Francisco that had tuberculosis, colds, flu, whatever. He'd bring them in nature for 2 years and they would heal. So I think there's a lot to be said about that.
Yeah, I think mentioning the deer probably is a good place to start because nature is present. You know, it is present. And so I think too many people try to understand what presence is instead of being present. You know, there's a big difference between reading about it and trying to intellectually understand it. That doesn't mean anything. You have to be present. I literally have thousands of examples of how that it actually works as far as people becoming present and getting better. But presence, you know, would be, you know, being in the moment with a very still mind, extremely still, without judgment. You know, you're aware, but you're not judging. You're not making perspectives on things. You know, in spirituality, it would be called the single eye, of course. That's the goal, of course, is to rise to ever and ever higher states of consciousness. Now, you don't have to become fully conscious to heal from pain and disease, of course. You just have to become more conscious than you are right now in this moment. Because as Eckhart Tolle would say, you know, the disease and pain are coming from a dysfunctional consciousness at some point. Something is happening there that you need to become more aware of. Well, you know, and when you shed light on that.
I think, the sage Yogananda, right? Yogananda said that stillness is the price of greatness. And I would plus that and just say that stillness is also the price of healing, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And would you want to comment on that? Is that your experience?
Absolutely. And I often quote Ramana Maharshi on that. He said that the greatest statement in human history was Psalms 46:10 in the Old Testament. Be still and know that I am God. But he said stillness had two components to it. One was, of course, to stop the chattering mind, you know, and bring it to this from these two eyes of perspective to this side that sees everything. And the second part was to become very happy and at peace and content where you are right now in this present moment. You know, there's no more wanting.
Yeah.
Because as Buddha had said, you know, wanting was the cause of the suffering. Well, craving or desire, you know, it depends on which English word you want to use, but the concept is the same. Wanting something other than what you have in this moment, what causes anger. And as Dr. Sarno proved, anger was the major force behind the chronic pains. And so the spirituality is merging with the new, I call it new medicine, I guess you can call it that, but it's just something that that the prophets have known for thousands of years, that it's finally coming back around full circle again.
Well, you know, you and I talked in the green room about that, you know, where the, you know, so many of the principles that we're, quote, discovering now have been in the ancient text for thousands and thousands of years, whether it's the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, or any number of other sacred texts that we would identify them today. Why is that? I mean, you know, I've heard that modern psychology, even you know, basically, you know, a lot of the principles in the, some of those texts were the foundation of modern psychology. Of course, they cut off the spiritual side of that and just put in the mental side. But why is that? What's going on there?
Well, I suppose if you just keep pulling on this thread backwards, you're going to find out that money is the root of all evil at some point, right? Or ignorance, you know, like Master Yogananda said, you know, the only sin is ignorance. It's what people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and so teachers come along, you know, the word rabbi means teacher.
Yeah.
Teachers come along and they teach us. And it's not an accident that most of these great prophets and sages and rishis and yogis were healers as well.
Yeah.
Because we have a physical body, you know, people worry about it more than anything in the world. Usually, well, they should, I suppose, at some point. But, and of course, Jesus' four gospels, the teachings of the healing are central to the to that. You know, we have a physical body, but it's really not a physical body. You know, when you get it deeper into it, like Master Yogananda said, you know, you're just a this incarnation of thoughts and memories and emotions. Reincarnating, you know, you think you're this physical form. If you look into the body with an electron microscope, there's nothing there. It's pure space, yeah, as far as quantum physics goes. And so this, we're looking at the lower, as Edgar Cayce said, you know, you're looking at the lower vibrational end of the soul here. That's what you're looking at. It appears to be a form, but when you look deeper, there's nothing there. And so it is a spiritual journey. The people who get that I work with, they heal better than anybody, faster and deeper. The people that don't get it, they get a little bit better, you know, but ultimately it's about awakening.
Yeah, you know, you know, it's very interesting. I know that, you know, people can relate to, you know, we split atoms, right? Well, how many atoms are in our little finger? And how many of those atoms would it take to split to light up New York City? Not very many, right? So, but we don't realize the power that's within our own being. And I think that, you know, we can talk about it intellectually, yeah, but here's the thing. It's like talking about an apple. You know, if you haven't tasted it, you really don't know what an apple is. So let's give our audience an experience of how to kind of taste some of these principles that we're talking about here to really heal. And we're going to do that. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a dive into that. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. We're talking with Steve Ozanich, and we're talking about how to heal the body, heal the mind, heal the soul and the spirit, you know. And we talked about the mind stuff. You know, all healing is it comes from ignorance, right? Or all disease comes from ignorance. All healing comes from wisdom, I would say. So we're really talking about how to bring more wisdom in your life so that you can heal whatever's going on in your life, right? I'll also say this. Healing is a quest. You'll hear me say this time and time again. I might have done this show. It's not something you go for a quick fix. If you've got something that's chronic in your life, you need to take some time, effort, and energy. Know that you can heal it, but also know it is a quest. You are going on a quest. This, whatever is going on in your body, or mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever's going on there is your next step of evolution. It is for you to discover what is going on, for you to step into you so that you can start to heal that. Steve, let's talk about just the, I'd like to talk with you about the spiritual side of healing, because I think we're talking about presence, we're talking about getting still, we're talking about that. How does somebody start with that?
Well, I think the first step is you have to want to heal. I know it sounds bizarre, but not everybody does. Matter of fact, only a small minority do want to heal. And Dr. Sarno proved why, of course, in his work with TMS, that it's he viewed it as a protective mechanism, the disease or the pain. So we live in a duality, right? So there's always an opposite side. I prefer to look at it as the message end. You know, there's a radical truth trying to come up that needs addressed here. And those people do much better. But if you do look at it from the other side, that it's a protective mechanism, people simply don't want to heal because pain, for example, it's protecting them from becoming aware of something by diverting their attention to their body and away from that which is arising. And so you can think of your symptoms in the sense of chronic pain as a crutch, as an emotional crutch. Nobody wants their crutches kicked out from underneath of them. And I have quite a few emails from people telling me how angry they were with me when I told them they weren't ready to heal or they didn't want to heal. But once they healed, they write back and they say, you know, we understand now what you meant when you said that. I was so mad at you. Now I get it. Because you have to want to heal first.
Well, let me give an example of that. You have somebody that had back pain, and they went to their doctor, and the doctor prescribed some pain medication. And so now they're on the pain medication. The pain medication makes them feel good, right? So now they're in a place where they're, you know, but why are they on the pain medication? That's what Steve is talking about here, right? Why did the pain in the back happen in the first place? Now you're have back pain, now you're going to get rid of that. Well, you're going to be on pain medication. Now you're feeling better. Now you don't have to address the emotional issues because you feel good that created the back issue in the first place, right? Or the spiritual issue or the mental issue or the physical, whatever you did physically, you know, now you're in that place. This is what Steve's talking about. Am I accurate here?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. What they're wanting is to get rid of the symptom.
Right.
You know, and I tell people getting rid of symptoms is not healing. That is not healing at all. We're trying to get rid of the cause and not the symptom. The medical industry focuses on the symptoms and it doesn't work. We know it doesn't work because there's more epidemics now than probably have ever been, even though we have the most advanced technology, because they're trying to stab this and cut that and stretch that and poke that and medicate that. That's the symptom end. That is not what healing's about. Healing's about getting to the cause end. And when you do that, that's what I meant by what I mean by they don't want to heal. They don't want to change the patterns in their life, you know, that got them there. Healing's not about fixing something. It's about changing the patterns in your life that got you there.
Well, you know, when I woke up in 1992, the little voice told me, you got to feel the pain to make the change. I heard that little voice. I was in therapy for a year and I walked in the doc and I said, Doc, I'm hearing this voice says, you got to feel the pain to make the change. And I didn't want to feel anything at the time, man. My relationships weren't working. My business wasn't working. My friends weren't really working. I mean, it was a messed up time. But I heard that voice, and that doctor looked at me. He was a powerful man. He looked at me and says, Ken, you got to follow that voice. That is the voice that you need to follow. I walked out thinking, what is that voice? That's the voice of courage. That's the voice of the divine, the intuition. What do I need to do? And I started taking steps to stop denying my pain, feel it so I could heal, change, get to the cause root of the pain. And that's when everything changed for me. That's what Steve's talking about here. The causation. You know, I think instead of focusing on symptoms, we really want to start focusing on results. What is the result that you would like in your life? What is it? You want to carry pain the rest of your life? Who told you that was okay? Who told you that that's what life is about, right, Steve? I mean, I think, doesn't it go back, though, to like misunderstanding, ignorance about why we're even here? I mean, if we really knew why we were here, yes, wouldn't we like change? Why are we here, Steve? What do you get?
It's a good question. Boy, that's how many months do we have? you know, even in the Four Noble Truths of the Buddha, he said, you know, the first truth is that we suffer. And that second, third, and fourth are how to get out of suffering. But you cannot get out of suffering, he said, until you know how you got into the suffering. And so that's what Dr. Sarno called knowledge therapy, you know, understanding what's going on, which is, I think, what you're alluding here to, you know, why are we here and why are we sick and all these things. That's the awakening part. Of course, everybody's coming here with a different ideal in mind and a different purpose and mission in mind, you know. Mine may not be the same as yours, but once the people start to find their purpose and mission, they begin to heal rapidly at some point. And so it's just, in a way, going backwards. It's funny that you would mention that. You said in the early 1990s you had some pain that started the awakening. I was just listening to that part today of Chapter 30, The Law of Miracles.
Chapter 30 of the autobiography of a yogi, I think you're talking about. Is that right?
Exactly.
That was written by Paramahansa Yogananda. I just want to be clear because our audience may not know that author.
Thank you. He was talking about the push and pull of the duality and why is there suffering? He was walking out of a theater one day. He saw the war, World War I on film, and he asked God, why all this suffering? And he said this voice came to him, the push and pull. Without that darkness, you would never want to leave this realm. You know, it's about the prodigal sons, you know, prodigal daughters returning back. If everything was heavenly, there's no reason to grow, you know. And so the pain is a fertilizer in a way. You know, we hate to see it, but it is those moments where the darkness is turned into light.
Well, you know, a lot of people try to avoid pain, and I'll just share my own knowledge of that. As I said, I used to avoid pain, didn't want to feel the pain to make the change, but now I embrace the pain. And people might go, oh, really? You're doing things that'll create pain in your life? Yeah, I do. Okay. Like I just finished this bike ride, 700-mile bike ride down from San Francisco to San Diego, right? Listen, let me tell you, when you're training for that, you're growing your muscles, there's pain. You have to overcome that until it's not there, okay, to be able to push yourself to stretch your limits. But I use pain today, and I bet Steve does too. I use pain, and pain doesn't use me anymore. I use it to learn, to grow, to evolve, to understand what's going on, to be able to be a better version of myself. I use it. I don't let it use me anymore. It used to. What do you say to that?
That's a good point. It reminds me of the mind, you know. I think it's in the Upanishads, you know, you use your mind, but you don't allow your mind to use you. You know, we all need to use our mind at sometimes, but most of the people are allowing their minds to use them, which is not present at some point. So it keeps coming back to the same center of being or self or presence or whatever word you want to call it. That's the core that you're trying to get.
Well, that presence piece is, you know, when I first started meditating and I got really still, I started to connect with the observer of the mind. And there's, you know, the mind, I went, oh, wow, I have all these thoughts floating by. Well, who's observing those thoughts? That really helped me on that understanding what we're talking about here, about being able to detach the soul from all these thoughts. And then at one point you realize, well, I have a mind. Now, how do I use this mind to generate success in my life or generate whatever I want? We'll talk about that. I got to take a quick break. We'll talk about that right when I come back from the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my guest in just a second. I want to let you know that this show grows by you, right? When you tell your family, your friends, those people that are out there that you're close to about this show and about how they can come in and learn how to mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually heal their lives, have more vitality, more joy, more happiness in their lives. That's what this show is all about. So I hope you'll pass it on to everybody. And I want to thank all of our sponsors out there for all that you're doing for this show. And of course, some of our networks, E360 TV Network, thank you so much for everything you're doing. All right. I'm going to get Steve right back here, and we're going to keep going here. All right, Steve, welcome back here. Let's just talk about that spiritual side of that healing, getting present, getting really still, being in that place to be the observer of the mind. You know, how do you guide people to start using their mind to be able to heal themselves?
Yeah, that's what I spend a lot of time on. I try to, anyway, to become the observer of the mind and understand, of course, that your mind is the thing that's caused all of your problems, all of your rage that's destroying your physical body and all the fear, all of the conflicts in your life. Those are mind things. And so we get to the core of the problem, which is the mind, and you destroy it, I guess, if you want to say that. What we're looking to destroy is the egoic mind. You need a mind. Everybody needs a mind. You can think of yourself as having two minds. One is a working mind and one is a thinking mind. The working mind we will always need. It determines how to get what the heart wants in this world. It's this egoic, incessant, clamorous thinking mind that is the destructive force. That's the thing that people need to work on. But if you're identified with your mind, then you're going to live a lot of years of suffering, which I did.
Yeah.
You know, being fully identified, I guess. And the way, of course, to destroy that identification is to observe it, as you said. That's Ramana Maharshi said that was the fastest way to destroy it, was to observe it.
You know, I was reading the Bhagavad Gita at one point. In fact, it was Yogananda's interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita. And in there was a picture of Bhagavan Krishna standing over this image of Bhagavan Krishna. And the image on the ground had 1,000 arrows in it, right? And that was the image of what it takes to destroy that ego, right? The arrows represented wow. The arrows that we have to, you know, attack that ego in this case to be able to let it go. I thought it was very, it always stuck with me. Oh yeah, it's going to take a while to get rid of this ego, this egoic thinking, right? But we can yes, do it.
Because it's a habit. It's become habitual.
Yeah, it's a habit. Yeah. Listen, you got a book out there right now. It's called The Great Pain Deception, which we talked about a little bit in the beginning of the show. With the introduction. So let's talk about it. What's the deception of pain? What are we talking about here?
Okay, of course, the operative word there is deception. It took a long time to come up with that title. I worked with the doctors and the psychologists and the psychiatrists trying to come up with something that everybody would agree on. And they seemed to like that, like I did. Deception is threefold here. Mm-hmm. The first one is that there's a few people in the medical industry that are deceiving people. They know what they're doing doesn't work. You know, not most of them are good people. This is not an anti-doctor message at all. Not at all. Okay. But there are a few that are deceiving people. They know what they're doing. It doesn't work. The second level is what Dr. Sarno proved, that your brain is deceiving you into believing something's wrong with your body when it's actually an emotional process behind the scenes that you're fully unaware of, that you're unconscious about. The third level of deception is a psychological term that I found, an old psychological term that I reintroduced, that's called self-deception. Self-deception means that you have bought into the lie and now you believe that it's true. Okay, so there's three different levels of deception there. And of course, deceiver, you can look, if you want to heal, that's a good way of looking at it, to look at, there's a deceiver inside of me. But that's just one way of looking at it. You know, I prefer to focus completely on being, you know, trying to find your mission here, finding more joy and happiness. You know, you can forget about all the books if you want to, and throw everything away. If you just go get happier, your health problems disappear every single time.
Yeah, sometimes that's a little easier said than done. But I like the concept, because really what we're talking about is being completely mindful of the thoughts that you're choosing and how they're landing. You know, our bodies are wonderful because, you know, you have a thought, you can feel that in your body, right? You think about somebody that you don't like, you think about all the wrong things that they've done to you, and pretty soon you start feeling that in your own body. And then you can ask yourself, is that really what I want to feel? And then you can try and experiment with yourself, right? Go ahead and start focusing on all the gifts that that person has brought to you, even though you don't like them, right? Just focus on it and start to feel what it feels like, right? So that's what Steve's talking about, becoming a lot more mindful, a lot more present about what your experience. I'll share this, Steve, with you. I did I was challenged. It was called the 7-day mental diet, I think it was. And it was by one of the Unity ministers. His name is slipping my mind right now. Maybe you know him. But anyway, for 7 days, you had to have positive thoughts, right? And, you know, he said if you dwell on a thought, okay, for any length of negative thought, any length of time, you'd have to start over, right? Well, listen, man, it took me 1 year to be able to get 7 days, because I had to start over. But I was committed to it. What happened with that day that I hit the 7 days in a row is everything changed for me, man. I mean, literally everything looked fluorescent in the world to me. The colors were brighter. I could see things I've never seen before. It was completely amazing. And it was just by switching the lens of my mind to start to look at all the beauty in this life, all what's good in this life, and just focus on that. That's what we're talking about, right?
Exactly. I've recommended the Power of Now to quite a few people. I think I've sold more books of the Power of Now than my own books at some point. And a lot of them have come back and said, you know what, after I read that, the colors were brighter and the lines were straighter. It seemed to maybe bring life into more focus, probably, right? Because the chatter of the mind isn't confusing people as much.
Well, by the way, the minister, the Unity minister, Unity, Christ Unity Church is the name of the organization. And the minister was Ernest Holmes. So if you want to look at Ernest Holmes' 7-day mental diet, you can find that if you want to challenge yourself too. Steve, the book, your book, what are some of the principles in that book that will help people to really change how they think, be able to heal themselves?
Dr. Sarno told me that the heart of my book was my own story, which I believe is true now after listening to the feedback, as an example of what happened to me and all the mistakes I made in healing and the things I did right in healing and then the ultimate conclusions in healing. But it's a longer book because it's about changing your life. It's not about, you know, fixing your body. It's about fixing your life. And so it's a comprehensive topic. And so the book is pretty lengthy, and it deals with, you know, Casey, like Edgar Casey you had mentioned, and Carl Jung and Freud and Ramana and Christ, of course. But the principle is always going to keep coming back to awakening, to a deeper love, a greater love, you know, less judgment. Stop living life through these two eyes and living it through this side. The one that sees everything as it is, instead of these are the judgmental eyes that have perspective. I remember watching Thich Nhat Hanh on YouTube say that nirvana means having no more views. There's no more judgment. There's no more perspective. You just are. in this moment. And then, of course, the ultimate rise out of this is realizing that this duality is not real here, that it's that there's another higher reality behind this world of form that we see. And so, you know, there are different levels of awakening, and hopefully the book would start people on that path. I've often talked about Dr. Sarno didn't just heal the world's pain. He got people on a spiritual path again. I mean, deeply on a spiritual path. I don't know whether he realized he was doing that, but there are millions of people now on a spiritual path because of that great doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Dr. Sarno, because I'm not as familiar with him as you are. And I'm sure my audience would like to know a little bit more about him and why did you choose him as your mentor?
Well, I was near dead. I realize it now. I didn't realize it at the time. I was down 50 pounds and I couldn't walk and I couldn't eat because of the pain. And my foot was dropping because the MRI shows ostensibly a pinched nerve in my back. And so my foot was dropping. But I found Dr. Sarno's work through a friend, and he was saying there's nothing being pinched there. Don't pay any attention to that. There's not getting oxygen to that nerve. Okay. There's no oxygen getting there. Well, I didn't believe him, but ultimately when I got worse, I began to believe him, and I went back to his work and I healed. But he worked at the New York University Medical Center, I think, for 50 years. He passed away in 2017, one day before his 94th birthday. He's written the greatest back pain book in the history of the world called Healing Back Pain. It's saved millions of lives. And so my work is based on his work, of course. I'm carrying the torch since he's passed. We promised him that we would carry his work on. And thanks to you, I'm able to do that today. I'm carrying his work on because of people like you. Yeah. But he was despised by the medical industry. They did not like him. And his sin was healing people. That was his sin.
Yeah. Well, listen, healing back pain is important. There are people listening to the show right now, Steve, that I know have back pain. And what's the first one, two, or three steps someone can start on this journey to get rid of their back pain permanently?
Sure. First step, we always have to say the first step, get an exam. We have to say that because there might be a pool of blood there. I've seen aneurysms in spines, okay? You need to get that blood off the spine, okay? It can cause permanent damage. So make sure you're not in danger. Our life's too precious to just take it for granted or just haphazardly go into something. Get an exam. Second thing, if you're not dying and there's no tumor or blood clot there, Dr. Sarno would say, ignore all the things on the findings. Ignore it all. Herniated discs do not cause pain. Stenosis does not cause pain. Neither does spondylolisthesis or scoliosis or ankylosing spondylitis or whatever term they give it. We know through clinical proof that those things do not cause pain. They are the source destination of the rage that's within the person. The anger is attacking those things, making the person think that that's the problem. When it has been clinically shown in every test and every placebo trial that those things do not cause pain, people still want to believe that they're causing pain. And right now, as we speak, somebody's getting operated on for it or somebody's getting their back readjusted or whatever. We know that those things do not cause pain because of astronomical success. And so get an exam. You can look at the imaging, but disregard pretty much everything that's on there. And then start looking at your life. You have to look at your life, not through the deceiver's eyes, okay? Through truthful eyes, you know, how happy am I? Am I in the right career? Am I in the right relationship? And then find a way to become happy. You know, I know you said it right a few minutes ago. It sounds like a great a simplification. And, you know, I've asked people, you know, what is happiness? And a lot of them say, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea, which is not good in your life to know if you're not happy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, listen, I want to, my audience, I want to let you know that this is the type of work that I've been doing for the last 28 years. And if you would like to start on that path, I also want to give you a tool to do that. You go to my website, kendfoster.com, Ken D as in Donald, foster.com. Scroll down on the homepage. There's a process that I created about 20 years ago. It's called the release process, and it will give you another first journey. So do what Steve says. Go get an exam. Go to the get the release process so you can start to really examine your life and go through and releasing by choice the emotions, the stuck emotions, you know, the hurts, the harms, the guilt, the shame, the remorse, the, all that stuff that's in there, the harms, you know, people that hurt you, you hurt them, all that stuff. Start to release that stuff. Now, that's the process there. The other process is to get Steve's book. Steve's book will help you understand at even a much deeper level than we're talking here today what's going on. And, you know, based on Dr. Sarno's work, as Steve has mentioned, you're going to get some of the principles to readjust your thinking so that you can get out of the paradigm that you're in, whatever that paradigm, meaning the mental state that you're in that's causing this dis-ease in your body. All right. Steve, I've got about 1 minute. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You have to want to heal first. Start right there. Do I want to heal? If you do, look into this work. I'm seeing people heal from the most bizarre things you can imagine now. They're coming this way because this message is spreading. You know, you cannot stop light from spreading. Skin problems, cancers, MS symptoms. I helped a lady get her hearing back recently. Vision problems, gastrointestinal problems, chronic pain. These things are all from the same source.
I love it. Thank you, Steve. I got to go, man. We're out of time, brother. Man, this was a really good show. Just thank you so much for being here again. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
And all of you out there, listen, this show is for you. This is your show. I'm doing this show for you so that you have a tool for changing mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. You have the experts from all areas of healing modalities to really support you in changing up your life. Really, you know, it's amazing what we can do when we get out of our own thinking, get out of our own way, and start to learn again. Start to say, you know what? This, whatever's going on for you, this is not natural. Not our natural state is a state of harmony. Harmony, right? Peace, joy, happiness. That's our natural state. That's where I want you to be. And this show is all about that. So I hope you join me again, time and time again, and come back until next time. Remember, get on that quest to heal it.